Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastinate Baking, a place to talk about our baking obsessions and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Louisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk
about... You sounded like you
had
to think about that.
I think I'm doing well. No, I'm fine. Today was just like a whirlwind of a day. I don't like days that I think that start off slow and then everything kind of turns into a scramble.
Yes,
because I like either. Knowing what kind of day I'm gonna have. I don't mind if it's a crazy day if I wake up knowing it's gonna be like that, but I don't like surprise crazy days. So today was kind of like that
surprise,
but it's, yeah. It's fine though. Yeah, I'm excited to talk about what we baked for this one because I think I had a lot of good successes. For the most
you
part.
Had a lot of bakes in general for this one.
I got a little carried away, which is funny because I'm always behind, but for some reason I just I don't know, I did the opposite of procrastinating baking. I went ahead of schedule, which is weird, but they were good, so I'm excited to talk about it. What's new with you?
Our exchange student is here.
That's right.
We've been doing a lot of baking. We've made a bunch of cookies because it was my turn this month to do the soldier package, so she helped me with that. We both fell in love with the peanut butter chocolate chip cookies, so that's now like a staple.
Cool, you sent me that recipe. I am definitely gonna make that.
So yeah. Good.
Was there anything, were there like ingredients that you guys use that were things she doesn't use a lot, or just anything that she found different?
So we made Rice Krispie treats, which were new, and they were good, but they were not a favorite.
Which ones did you make? Did you make the ones from Midwest Made?
No, I made brown butter. I think it was from King Arthur. And they have toasted, like you brown your butter and then you put the milk powder in the butter and toast the milk powder. And then you put that in the Rice Krispie Treats too. I mean, if you would have handed me that plus a regular Rice Krispie Treat, I don't know that I could have told you the difference. The marshmallow, like, it just takes it all over, right? So...
Yeah, marshmallow is the star.
Yeah.
Okay, so that one wasn't.
No, and so she was familiar with peanut butter, but you can't really buy it as much in Spain.
Okay. Yeah, that seems right, right? Like peanut butter is a very...
very American.
American, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, it's nice that you have a baking buddy.
Yes, and I have somebody else that eats the sweets. So we put some in the freezer and like make a plate for us to have throughout the week, and that works.
That's cool, yeah. I'm jealous that your baking buddy doesn't try to like eat the sticks of butter in one go like mine. Yours is more capable of doing it the right way.
But she's so cute.
I agree. She's very cute. She's been asking to bake with me, which I think is really cute. So wow. I need to make more things that we can do together. Like maybe some no-bake protein balls.
Oh, yeah.
You know. I think she'll still enjoy that. Yeah. She's going to want to put sprinkles on them, though. Which I guess is fine.
Yes. You can give her some. She can put sprinkles on. Yeah.
In her opinion, would she like... if she doesn't have sprinkles, it's not worthy of being...
I would say coconut is not colorful, but it's like you can sprinkle the coconut, I guess. But it's not pretty.
Yeah. You know what? I haven't had her try coconut. I wonder if she would like it. Because I know for a lot of people, it's like a weird texture.
The texture, yeah.
But, I mean, she should like it because it's in her blood. I mean.
Right?
Her Puerto Rican side, everybody loves coconut. So, if she doesn't like it, she'll be in trouble. Poor thing. Ooh, should we talk about more unpopular baking opinions? Those were fun.
I think so. I thought they were fun, yeah.
Yeah.
So, this first one, I wasn't sure. Is it that people don't like icing and frosting? Is that the common opinion?
So like, I think the common opinion was that they do like it, but I know that a lot of people were also common in, like, that's like the grossest part of a baked good to them. They like scoop it off. I think I'm mostly on team I like it, but I have had baked goods where it's just too sweet or too much piled on. And in those cases, I have had to swipe some of it off. So
yeah,
I enjoy it. If it's like
grocery store frosting, it's too much. It's gross. Yeah.
Well, that also was one mentioned later on our list about you can get away with boxed cake mix, which I agree because there are a lot of things that you can do to spruce it up, but you cannot get away with canned icing. What do you think about that?
This is coming from the kid that used to eat canned icing by the spoonful. And I don't like it now. I agree. I think so. I'm weird because so I used to like love that the chocolate canned frosting, but now I make a really good chocolate frosting that can be that texture, but it's not that taste. Like it's chocolate, but it's not like cloying. I have seen blogs claim that you can like whip it and then it makes it the texture better and it, you know, less sugar because it's more, less frosting is covering more of the cake. But I think you can tell, like, I still think it's a dead giveaway that it's canned frosting.
I think you can tell too. However, there are certain occasions like the funfetti mix when they make the use like a vanilla with a funfetti that I really like. I wonder if it's because it's nostalgic though. Like a funfetti cupcake is like a reminder of all the kid birthday parties I would go to.
And like you're expecting it to taste a certain way. So you're like prepared for it.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. You just don't want surprise canned frosting. You want informed.
Yeah. I'm like so picky when I go to like church functions or work functions or birthday parties for random people. I'm like looking at the cake. Sometimes you can just tell by the way it looks too.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is definitely not something I want to eat. And how, what am I going to say no thank you?
You know what? I had this realization today. I was talking with my friend Molly and she was asking me about all the bakeries that we tried on our beach trip. And I was self-reflecting and thinking, are we a little snobby, like baking snobs? Because I was telling her like, oh, I really like this. I didn't like that. I didn't really like this. This was okay. And I don't know. I guess I was just like, am I being too hard? We have higher
expectations, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I just don't want to be like snooty. I don't think we are though.
It's the same way. It's just
we're like, because we've learned so much more and we've tried this has like pushed us to try a wider variety of things. And so maybe we're just more aware of things we like and don't like because we've had more exposure.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Like if you go to like a wine tasting or something, you like learn what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah. And to be honest, there's really not much that I would turn down baking wise. I will try pretty much everything.
Same. At least once.
Yeah. So.
And I think I was going to mention our beach trip when we were talking about the liking frosting. Like, I feel like a lot of the bakeries did not like frosting. I was like, where's the frosting?
Needs more frosting. We asked for extra frosting at one of the places where we got the cinnamon roll.
And we it got was like a whole way too much extra. Paint can full of frosting.
It's good though. Okay, I think I know your opinion on this one, but bacon on baked goods, yes or no?
I like it. My favorite donut shop has chocolate donuts with bacon on top, and I've had some good candy bars to have bacon. And I don't know that I've ever used bacon though, like in a sweet thing. Like I make it like cheddar bacon scones, but I don't know that I've ever baked something with bacon. Maybe I should do that now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you know you like it, it's worth exploring.
Yeah. Do you like it?
No, I do not like it. No, I have tried some things like donuts.
Yeah.
With bacon sprinkled on it. It's just not my thing. I don't know. And I'm not opposed to a sweet and savory, you know, recipe, but
sometimes it's the texture, right? Like, if it's not the crispy part, it's like gross.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is the texture. So that's a no for me.
Fine. We can agree to disagree.
I guess.
Okay. Do you like or dislike drip cakes?
I dislike them. I don't think they're aesthetically pleasing. I made a couple and I just also, I don't know. It just wasn't that fun to make because I got too consumed with like, oh, is it dripping equally on all sides?
Yeah. Or,
I guess maybe if it had the right theme, like if you were going for a slime cake for a Halloween.
Okay. Yeah.
But for the most part, I don't think they look that pretty. I like the look of the like cakes that are, I don't know how to explain this, that are like frosted, but they like, I like them when they're like completely clean, all the edges and the sides are completely clean. Or I like it when you use like the, oh, what do you call it? Those little plastic things that are ridged and you can make like the ridges on the side to give it some.
Oh, texture. Yeah, the cake comb. Yeah.
Yes, cake comb. I don't love like the naked look either, where you see some of the cake. I don't like that.
I agree.
I know that's trendy for wedding cakes. But,
I made one cake like that and I was not a fan.
Yeah,
I think most time I prefer like the cakes that have like the little, you know, they go around the top with like the little whipped cream swirl kind of thing, even though it's it could be frosting. I like that. That's just probably real old school.
I agree.
I didn't like this at first, but I think I'm coming around the cakes that have like, they've got the frosting and then they've got like nuts or crumbs or something pressed all around it.
Oh, okay.
I'm liking that better, and I can't tell if it's just because I've seen so many of them that I'm like,
you've been brainwashed.
Yeah. Or if I actually like it, but I'm not, as opposed to what I was when I first saw it. So,
gotcha. I think I like that too. It gives it a nice texture to the outer part that I think gets neglected a lot. Yeah. Okay. What about this? A lot of people were saying that, you know how recipes often say use unsalted butter, but a lot of people actually were saying the opposite, that they use salted butter for everything. And it doesn't matter what the recipe says.
Yeah, I'm a rebel here. I mostly use salted butter all the time.
I never knew this.
Because, so, like, when I made the macarons and I took them to the contest where I couldn't have one because I didn't have a display, that lady was like, it needs just a tiny bit of salt. So I'm always like, but I'm like, in a macaron, I'm like, where am I supposed to put this other than in the buttercream? But, so I'm always thinking, like, a little bit of salt, and most recipes have you add salt, and sometimes like the corn cookies I use salted butter and I still add just like a little bit of salt, like not as much as it calls for, but just like a little bit. I get it, like recipes want you to have the exact amount of salt and be able to know what's in there and make sure the flavor profile is balanced, but like when I cook I use salted butter just because I like it. So that's just what I keep. So instead of just keeping both or making sure I have the right kind, I just stick with one, and I haven't had a problem with it.
Interesting. You may have converted me. I'm wondering if I need to do this. I always do unsalted because I've been scared by recipes to not use salted, but after hearing so many people say they use it and it's really not a problem, I am intrigued. I think I'll try it next time and just see if I can even tell much of a difference or not.
Yeah, you should try.
Yeah. Well, these are fun. I'm going to keep looking for more because the internet is full of opinions, so there's not a shortage of of content. This season, we are reviving our Procrasta Baking Book Club and would love for you to read and bake along with us. This season's cookbook selection is Midwest Made by Shauna Seaver. Let's share what our cookbook selections were for this episode.
So you made like 50 different things. So you go first.
I only made 3 things. And you know what? I was motivated because I had to send cookies for my angel soldier box. So I wanted to, you know, tackle the things I had to make from the book and then the box. So I made 3 different types of cookies. Well, 2 cookies and a bar. I made the white chocolate Rice Krispies treats, my go-to chocolate chip cookies, and then she had a recipe for giant peanut butter cookies.
Oh, yeah, those look good.
Yeah, I really loved her go-to chocolate chip cookies, which I can't remember if we already discussed it, but I know you had a different experience. But I had made the pan-banging chocolate chip cookies from 100 Cookies.
Right.
And I was disappointed with them. I love pretty much everything else I've made from that book. It's an amazing book, but I remember being a bit let down by the chocolate chip cookie recipe. I just felt like there was something missing. Now, these are definitely now my go-to chocolate chip cookie recipe. I thought they were perfect. They were like the perfect mix of sweet and savory. I do pan bang every cookie now. I don't know about you, but I just like the texture. Yeah.
I do like the texture, but I haven't thought about that. I totally should.
I just was pulling them out and I was like, wait a minute, let me just slam this. I wonder if I just need to get some stress out and I just want an excuse to bang my pans. But I thought that was a nice little extra touch. She didn't say to do that, but why not? They were so good. I ate more than I planned to because I like them so much. So my soldier box got a little bit less of those. So those were great. I also loved the white chocolate Rice Krispies recipe. I don't really make Rice Krispie treats often. I forget about them. They're also not like the first thing that I am drawn to when I have options. But these were really nice. I had never used white chocolate mixed with marshmallow like that before, and I thought that the flavor profile with those two were really, it was really yummy and rich. So those I really enjoyed. The one that was a letdown was the giant peanut butter cookies.
Really? Were they dry? Yeah,
they weren't dry. They were too soft. They were like, well, you know what? They were brittle. So maybe some of that was dryness. I guess I'm just confusing because they were like kind of greasy, but that's from the peanut butter, like the oil.
Yeah.
But they fell apart. Like when I was transferring them and I let them cool on the pan when I was transferring them, they were brittle. They were falling apart. The flavor was nice, but it just wasn't what I was looking for. And the pictures in her book look really pretty because they do have the texture on top. That you like imprint the fork in different patterns.
Right.
Yeah, it looks nice, but I wouldn't recommend that one. But the other two things I made were great. So I don't know. If you ever try them, you'll have to tell me because I think you're a peanut butter connoisseur.
Yeah, I'm hooked on Brave Tarts though, so I don't know if I will because Brave Tart has you like grind up honey roasted peanuts to put into your cookies, and they were so good.
Maybe I need to, because I don't have a go-to peanut butter cookie recipe. I don't make them nearly as often as I think you do, but I should because they.
I used to make them a lot, but I don't really make them anymore. But then I discovered this Brave Tart recipe, so maybe more often now.
Okay.
But the Rice Krispie treats, I don't make them a lot either, but they're handy for the boxes. They're like, they're going to last a long time and they're pretty simple.
Yeah, they are. They're really good for care package purposes. This is a side note, but do you think breads like banana bread or zucchini bread, do you think those travel well in a care package?
I've been wondering the same thing because I would be worried they would get moldy.
Me too. And I wonder if we need to reach out to, well, Christina from the Baconeer, she mostly does cookies, I think. So I'm not sure, but maybe she would know. Because I want to make the only banana bread you'll ever need from for my friend for a little care package because she just had a baby, but I'm concerned about the same thing, about it being so moist and getting moldy on the way there. So.
Is it going in the U.S. though?
Like, it is, yeah. Yeah.
I think that would probably, like, if you sent it priority and it gets there within, like, 3 days, it would probably be okay. I don't think I'd send it for the soldier box, though.
No, yeah. No, I was definitely thinking it'd have to be a quick trip. Okay, so I might.
You could even freeze it, maybe, and then just send it frozen.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Okay. Well, I'd love to hear once this episode comes out. I may have already tried to send it in, so my experiment will have been, my answer will have been answered, or my question will have been answered. But if anybody knows if they've had experiences and had successes or not, I'd be curious to know. Because sometimes I do want to also send loaves like that for Christmas exchange boxes, and I'm always a little hesitant to do so. So
I've got bread in mind. I don't remember. I did so many exchanges last year. I don't remember which person sent me the bread. I got
you
two.
Did a
I got
million
one
exchanges.
Right. One was like a loaf of fruitcake type bread. And then the other one I think was like a pumpkin bread. And they both came in, were fine.
Were they like saran wrapped tightly?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This sounds promising. So I will update once I try it, if I try it. I'll
let you guys Good luck to you, brave knight.
Thank you. Okay, so we need to talk about what you made.
So I set myself up for disappointment with this one. I made scotcheroos, and I don't like butterscotch.
That was a choice.
Yeah, so, and I also couldn't find butterscotch at the grocery store. Like, I've seen it, but I think they only have it, like, in the fall, like the chips. But I picked this because it looked similar. Mike is always describing these cereal bar treats that his grandmother used to make that have, like, chocolate and peanut butter and butterscotch. And they're not seven-layer bars, but they're something else. And so I was like, well, this kind of sounds like what he's saying, so we'll try this. It was not what he was saying. He did not like it. But because I couldn't find butterscotch, I got the Heath bar pieces that they have.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
And they were good. But they don't melt. I mean, it added texture, which was nice, but I don't know if I can comment on this recipe. I'm like one of those people who, like, you know, I use soy milk instead of milk, and I used rice for the bread flour, and like it didn't turn out, and I'm really angry. So it did turn out. It was good, but I don't know. I imagine, I mean, it was similar except for the butterscotch Heath bar thing. So I imagine if you like butterscotch, you'd probably like them. Bars cut well, and everybody else liked them. So. It was good.
Okay. That was a fun substitution you had to make. I did not know they didn't melt, so I'm glad you have experience.
Yeah, I'm like stirring and stirring, and I'm like, why are they not melting? Yeah. But I mean, with everything else, it was crunchy too, so you couldn't really tell that they didn't melt. Other than it just like looking at it, you know, before you started and everything else. So
yeah.
But it was good.
This book has so many, I'm like sad we're coming to an end of our little dive into it because it has so many other things that seem worth exploring. Like her pretzel recipe looks really yummy.
Ooh, yeah. And I want to make those, like, I think they're called fingers, the little pastry looking things.
Are those like on the cover? No.
Maybe. My book's in the kitchen. Maybe.
There was also for my pie recipe, which we'll talk about in our next segment, but my pie recipe came from this book and I had Raul pick it out for me. He was so excited. You'd think he'd like won the lottery or something. I was like, I'm gonna make a pie and you get to pick what I'm gonna make.
I know, and he's so, a pie guy, so I'm sure he was excited.
Yeah, he's a pie guy, and it was kind of cute. I wish I had taken a picture of him sitting on our couch just flipping through and getting really excited. Yeah, it was really cute. So some of the other pie recipes he kind of bookmarked sounded really good. There was one that was like what was it? It was like white chocolate and rhubarb, maybe? I'll have to fact check that. It was white chocolate and something.
That sounds good.
Rhubarb was one of the other. Yeah, I'll fact check it. But it looked really pretty. That one had a photo. Yeah, maybe I'll stop there because we'll talk more pie in a second.
Sometimes we get a little stir crazy in the kitchen and take a break from behind our ovens to explore what local bakeries have to offer. In today's episode, we visit Rachel.
Sugarloaf Island Bakery in Moorhead City, North Carolina.
So exciting. Okay, Rachel, this is a special out and about because we are together. That was so good. We didn't even practice it. So we are together on a little girls' beach trip in Atlantic Beach. And so we decided to try a couple of bakeries. And this is the one that we tried yesterday. And we tried two things.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked out the... Was it a blueberry Danish
cream blueberry cheese? Blueberry cream cheese Danish, yeah.
Yeah, and what did you pick out?
The apple cinnamon pull apart bread.
Okay, and what were your thoughts?
Well, the apple cinnamon pull apart bread was like a mini loaf almost. Like it was pretty big.
Yeah.
I really liked it. It was very cinnamony, very moist.
You said it reminded you of monkey bread.
Monkey bread,
which I agree. Yeah, I really liked the Danish.
Yes, the danish was really good. It had fresh blueberries and like whole blueberries inside.
It did. I like that. And it was really flaky and buttery, which I appreciated. I think I liked it better than the cinnamon bread, but I don't know what you thought.
I think for me, they were tied.
Yeah.
They were really good. Really close. The bakery didn't have a whole lot of options, though.
Yeah, I was trying to think back. I know that they had some cream puff that seemed really popular.
Mm-hmm. They had cream puff and eclair, but both had the same filling.
They had some kind of truffle. Was it truffles?
No, they were out. They were out. Yeah, they were advertised, but they were out. And then they had cheesecake, I think, and like a peanut butter pie.
That's right. They had the peanut butter pie.
And then I think there was like a apple turnover and like a ham and cheese pastry of some sort.
Something savory.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, because we went on a Saturday morning, mm-hmm. and I feel like that's usually like when a lot of people go, you know, so I would expect more variety, but what we got was good.
Yeah, they're like, I thought there'd be muffins and scones and stuff like that too.
Yeah
or croissants.
That's right, they didn't have croissants.
Yeah
so not a lot of variety, but
what we had was really good. So what they do make, they make it very well,
and they were really friendly.
Yes.
It was a cute little spot.
It was cute. They were very nice.
And it seemed like a lot of locals were dropping by, so.
Yeah. So I'd recommend it, as long as you don't have your heart set on, like, a specific type of treat, and you're open to trying whatever they have that day. I think it would be good.
I agree.
Baking is always a little unpredictable. It's time to mix things up and roll the dice. Last time we rolled our special dice, and as Louisa alluded to, we landed on pie. So tell us what you made.
Okay, so this was really fun for me. I made a shaker lemon pie. I think it's called like Ohio shaker lemon pie. And I used Meyer lemons for the first time, which was cool. They smell so good. There's like an extra floral element to them. And so I had to, let me remember what this is called. She had me like slice them up very thinly and leave them overnight in a mixture of like sugar and vanilla and make like a teeny bit of salt, I think. Mm. And just like mixing that and leaving that at room temp for the day, I kept like opening the lid and taking a big whiff of it. It smelled so good. I was like, I think I could eat this by the spoonful if that wasn't like disgusting. So that makes the filling. And what's fun about this one is that you use all of the lemon. I think she was saying that like those types of lemons were not readily available. So once you, because they were purchased elsewhere, you wanted to make the most use of what you were paying for. And so they would use the whole lemon for the pie. And so that was a little weird, like cutting through and leaving the rind and everything. You're just taking
that does sound weird,
obviously. But once you're letting it sit in that mixture, it softens. And the other thing I wanted to say is I did use her pie crust recipe, which I have used before, and it's really great. I used to have a different pie recipe or a pie crust recipe that I would talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. And this one has replaced it. This is like my new
favorite. This has replaced your all butter one?
Yeah. I mean, this one is also butter based, but she uses like apple cider or red wine vinegar is what she says, but apple cider is fine too. Which
I've seen that. That's
a difference that what chemistry wise it does, I'm not exactly sure, but when I'm thinking of like what's different about it, that's one thing. I also think it maybe has me use less ice water.
Mm.
So it's like a bit flakier in the end. Like it's not too dense because it doesn't have as much water. I don't know. It's good. It's delicious. So the finished result was really yummy. It's definitely got like more tartness than what I'm used to. It is like a very, how do I say this? Like, I don't know that I would make it for a party because I think the flavor profile, like, we both enjoyed it, but I don't know if, like, for a big crowd, I would make it like, because it's, you know what I mean?
Like, I like my lemon really sour, but I find a lot of people do not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like, we liked the tartness, but I could see other people being put off by it. I did want to tell you, though, I'm trying to work on my crimping because I find that the pie crust, like when it has the double crust, you know, like the one on top, I just feel like it looks so ugly when I make it. And so this time I ventured to TikTok and I just looked up. And it actually, I get overwhelmed by TikTok. We've discussed this, but.
Did Tina send you some links?
Yes, Tina, our old intern, who I hope she's employed somewhere because we let her go. But when I go on TikTok and I know what I want to see, I like it. But I don't like just hopping on there and browsing, you know? Like, I find that way it's too overstimulating. So this was helpful because I went on there. I just wanted to learn new crimping techniques. And I found one that was really cool, a really easy tutorial. So the crust looked really pretty. And it had a nice egg wash on it. It was yummy. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I need to freeze the rest of it because I can't have it sitting out on my counter. I'm going to eat it all. So it was good. It was a win.
Nice. It sounds really good. I love lemon stuff. So I'm going to bookmark that one to try.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's hear. It's pie time. I'm excited for yours.
I like that. It's pie time. We need t-shirts. We'll add that to our list.
We have a lot of shirts. We have like so many shirt ideas.
So I made my first recipe from Jürgen's book for this challenge.
Woohoo! So exciting.
I also stretched the definition of pie and my German language skills in this challenge. I made Zwetschge tart, which is plum tart.
Ooh.
Because I feel like a tart is in the pie family, right?
I think so. I think it's like a cousin, a very close cousin, first cousin, so it works.
And it has a crust on the bottom, so it's like, oh, that counts. And then the top is streusel. And we both love streusel now, so I had to make it. It was interesting. So he, and I noticed this when we interviewed him, and he sent me some recipes to fix all my problems. A lot of it, you do it by hand. Like, you do the mixing with your hands instead of with a spoon. And, like, feel the dough. And when it feels like this, then you do this. So it had me make the pie dough with my fingers. Like, rub the butter into the flour until it, like, comes together.
Okay.
So that was interesting. And I thought it was going to take forever. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to take me forever. Because, like, I look up the recipe that's, like, food processor pack crust and, like, use that one. Because I hate, like, cutting butter into things. But this went pretty quickly. I was surprised at how quick it went. And so the pie crust had lemon zest and vanilla sugar in it. So it smelled really good.
Ooh.
But I had trouble like rolling it out. It was like, it looked kind of dry. Like it was like cracking and stuff as I rolled it. So I added a little bit of milk and that helped a little bit. And I was able to roll it out. But like when I picked it up, it started cracking again.
Oh no.
So I just like puzzle pieced it into my pan instead of laying it into my pan.
Yeah.
And I was terrified. I'm like, oh, this is going to come out and it's, you know, the bottom's going to fall off because it's like not actually one piece. But it didn't. It worked. He had me bake it in a tart pan. And so I just used my like springform pan. And it was so easy. Like you make the crust, you put the crust in. I forgot my egg wash. I was supposed to egg wash the inside of the pie crust. I remembered it once I put the pie in the oven.
Okay.
And then you basically cut the plums in quarters and remove the seeds and then lay them across the crust. And the only thing I didn't care for was the one detail missing was like, which way do I lay it? Do I lay it like skin side up or skin side down? And so I just alternated it because I couldn't decide. And in the picture looked like purple, but I'm like, is it because everything turns purple like as it cooks or is it because it's skin side up? And I still don't know the answer to that. I think they should go skin side up because I had one big piece of plum and it just like stands out from the rest of the pie. Okay. Because it's like flesh side up, I guess. So I think skin side up is the answer.
Okay.
But that's it. That's the filling. And then you make streusel and sprinkle the streusel on top.
Streusel
and it bakes for like an hour. Yeah, it was good. And it says serve warm. So we served it warm with whipped cream. We had it right after dinner. And it was so good. Alice and I both loved it. It has, like, jammy. The plums turn, like, jammy. They're, like, tart, But then they have the sweet from the streusel and a little bit of cinnamon. And I thought the crust tasted like a cookie.
Oh, that's a nice, like, unexpected way for a crust to taste, but a good unexpected.
Yeah, it was good. And it reminded me of like when we went to the German bakery here, like they called some of their tarts pies and they called some of their tarts tarts, but they all had that like tart crust. Like, you know, like when you bake in a cheesecake, it's like all kind of even case. So it doesn't look like a pie, like crimped or like latticed or anything. It's just like a tart shell that's not baked. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you make like a tart and then you put like pastry cream.
Yeah.
So it looked like all their pies looked like those kind of shells, whether they were pastry cream pies or like pecan pie. And I liked it a lot. And now that I've made it, I'm like, I like this. Like this might be like it's not super flaky, but it's like easy and it tastes really good. So it might be my go-to pie crust. Except for when I make the cookie
Cool.
pie that I make, I think that needs a crust and not a cookie kind of crust.
It looks beautiful. The photo, it looks
I was amazed.
to me like just like the picture in the book, which is amazing.
Yeah, I was really surprised. And it came out clean from the cheesecake pan, even though I forgot to grease it. So I was really happy with it.
What a nice recipe to start off with in his book.
Yes.
I mean, we knew that it was going to be a good book because,
Yeah,
of course.
it's
Yeah,
Jürgen.
it's Jürgen. That's really exciting. So I'm really excited. I don't have it yet, but I put it on my holiday wish list. Hint, hint.
Nice.
Raulito. This would be a nice gift. So I'm excited to get my hands on it and look through it because it's nice hearing positive feedback, and this is like the first thing you've made from the book, so that's great.
Yeah, I'm excited to make more. His directions were really easy to follow, and the pictures were really helpful.
Thank you for listening to this batch of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We will release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune in to the next batch of Procrastibaking for more on baking with kids and our new GBBO challenge. Until next time, stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.